The sermon text comes from James chapter 5, verse 13 to 20. But before they read that, I want to go back over what Tom had read. Because the first few times I read Mark, it seems that when you think of the disciples, you kind of, to me at least, I kind of put them up here. I mean, if Jesus picked them, they must have been special. And if they were and they were followers of Jesus, they were with him all the time, they should understand everything that was going on. And on Thursday when we had the Bible study, the minister gave, Pastor Larry gave us something that I never really thought about before. And after he told me that, as I reread this, it kind of turned the light on a little bit. I mean, we look at the disciples, and here is somebody doing good. And John goes to Jesus and says, you know, we saw this man, he was driving out demons. I mean, he's doing good. But he wasn't one of ours. So we told him to quit. And it seems, shouldn't the disciples have known better? You know, shouldn't they have, when they saw something good, shouldn't they realize that? But then as I think about what Pastor Larry brought, you know, we know the whole story. We know when Jesus was born. We know when he died. We know what was happening. These disciples are just learning this. I mean, we can see ahead of what the disciples don't see. So we might end up judging the disciples a little bit by saying, you know, you should have known better than to do that, or you should have realized something. But then we look at today, with what we're doing, do we ever look at another group and say, you know, they aren't one of us? You know, maybe they're not preaching the way we're used to hearing preaching. Maybe they're not singing the way. You know, maybe they're doing some things different, but if they're worshiping God, I mean, I hope we aren't saying, you know, you don't belong to Phillips Chapel, so, you know, you aren't quite right. You aren't doing it the way we're used to doing it. So we want to make sure we don't get into that. And now to read today's lesson. If any of you in trouble, he should pray. In other words, if something's gone wrong, you ought to pray. But let's not end it right there. Now, that doesn't mean the only time you pray is when you need to. And I think that's what probably a lot of us do. When things aren't going right, or we can turn to God for a prayer. I mean, we need help. If that isn't where we want to end this, you know, that isn't the only time we pray. When we offer this morning, do you have any prayers, any sorrows? But do you have anything that you're happy about? Do you have any joys? We should be praying when we have joys along with as when we're praying when we have problems. It's on to say he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Every Sunday we come here and we have songs that we sing. Today we're using a green book, and it's a lot of older songs. It's songs that some of us have been coming here to Phillips Chapel for years. We can remember singing them 5 or 10 years ago. Maybe 50 years ago we sang them in Sunday school, or 60 years ago, or 70 years ago we sang them in Sunday school. I mean, they're songs that we remember, don't we, Jane? We remember when we sang those. Jane, you remember when we sang them out of the green book 70 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
And they were singing with prayers. You know, are we singing, when we come here on Sunday, And when a minister does his sermon, he picks out songs that goes with it. So, yes, we should get a lot out of Pastor Larry's sermon. But shouldn't we get a lot out of the music that's being sung? I mean, are we really singing it to God, or are we just picking up the songbook and singing it because he picked that song? I mean, do you look at the words when you're singing it? We should really be singing to God, not singing to each other. But we need to be praising him. It says that, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is something new. I mean, if somebody's sick, call the minister. That's his job. You know, that isn't our job. We hire a minister to go see the sick people. You know, is this the way we are doing things? I mean, this says call the elders. Okay, who's an elder? Who's an elder in the church? Everybody should have a hand up. An elder doesn't mean older or younger. An elder means that you're coming to church, you're learning about church. You surely have learned enough that you've been coming to church that you ought to be able to help somebody if they need help. You won't have all the answers, and you might have to send them to the minister, or you might have to send them to somebody else. But when they come, the people ought to be able to come to us and say, you know, I need prayer. And we should be able to pray with them. It says, in a prayer offered in faith. That's very important. That doesn't mean your faith that you need it. That means our faith that we're praying. If we don't have faith in offering the prayer, we're just talking. If you're praying and you don't believe that God's going to answer that prayer, why pray? I mean, if you read the Bible says that God answers all prayers. The only thing is, we don't think he answers them all because he doesn't answer them the way we want them. You know, we're looking for an answer, and God doesn't answer it that way. We want it today. I mean, if I'm praying now, I want the answer now. That's why I'm praying. And God is telling you, yes, I'll answer your prayer. I'm not going to answer it the way you want it, and I'm not going to do it in the time you want it. Or maybe he's saying yes, and immediately your prayer is answered. But we have to realize that you have to be praying in faith and wait on the answer. Listen for the answer. Maybe he's telling you the answer and you're not paying attention. Maybe you haven't been talking to him enough that you really know when he's talking to you. Because you haven't been listening for his voice and it's talking to you and you have no idea that it is. That the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Well, now we see some people that are sick and we pray for them, they're still sick. But we're looking at it the way we look at it. If we want somebody well, we want them well right now. We're praying for them to get better, and since we're praying and we honestly mean it, Lord, you ought to do it right away and make them well. And there can be a lot of things behind this. There's reasons that every prayer doesn't get answered right away. It says the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Now, we don't want to take this that every time you get sick, you must have done something wrong. You committed a sin, or God wouldn't make you sick. But some things, some of your problems could be because of what you're doing wrong. You could be getting yourself into that problem. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I don't believe that this means that every time you do something wrong, you ought to go to somebody and tell them, you know, here's what I did last. I went out last night and drunk. You know, I did this or I did that. But if you're praying for something and you really need help with that, and it, in layman's term, if you're in a rut and you don't know how to get out, you know, maybe you ought to be talking to somebody that is going through that same problem. Maybe somebody that can show you, here's what your problem is. You know, you go to each other, and we're not to condemn that person, but we're to listen to what that person has. They have a problem, they come to you with it, listen to it. You can explain to them what they ought to do without criticizing them or really being harsh with them, but you can let them know, and you need to be honest. Here's what your problem is. You know, if they come to you because they have a problem, you don't want to beat around the bush and say, well, it's really nothing. You know, they really need that help. You need to pray with them and go over what their problem is. So the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Now, if you want to read an interesting story, you want to go into Kings and read about Elijah. I mean, we look at the world today and we say it's really bad. But if you look back in Elijah's time, the world was really bad. Elijah was a prophet, and they were starting to worship all their own gods. They didn't like the prophets, and they killed most of the prophets. Elijah figured he was the last prophet, and apparently if they all got killed off, apparently he felt God wasn't happy with them because, you know, he was worried about this. God spoke to him, gave him certain things to do, and Elijah did it. And then to help show that Baal that they were worshiping wasn't right, Elijah did certain things to prove that God was alive, that God was really ruling. He asked for it not to rain, and it didn't rain. And when he prayed again for it to rain, it did. Elijah was, yes, he was a prophet, but he was an ordinary man. He was chosen by God, but aren't all of us chosen by God? Aren't all of us given certain jobs to do? Now, maybe we can't stop it from raining or get the sunshine to come out. You know, maybe that isn't our job. But we still have a job, and we can pray to God. We can use that job or whatever it is to do. It says again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So if somebody strays from the church, we shouldn't just look at it and say, well, our membership's up and what's won. You know, we should be going for that person. Try to find out what's wrong. Try to help that person, whether it's in prayer, whether it's other ways we need to help them, but we need to do that. And we need to realize that God does answer every prayer. I'd like to tell about a prayer that was answered. It's hard to talk about, but it means so much to me. Any of you that knew my mother, she died at 102. She was very sick. And to me, it really was hard to accept. And when she got real bad, we had to have somebody with her 24 hours a day. We'd go out and maybe spend a day, the kids would go out and spend the day, and we'd spend the evening. The nurse would be there at night. But we changed around and were there at different times. Hard-hearted me did not want to be there when my mother died. I did not want to see that happen. Foolish me prayed to God every night. If I spent the evening there, when I went home at night and she was with the nurse, I prayed. I knew she was dying, and I could accept that. But I prayed that she would die during the night when the nurse was there. And I would get a phone call saying she had passed away. I felt I could handle that. It didn't happen. We went out the one night. We spent the evening with her. The instant she passed away, I knew it. I have never had anything affect me the way that did for the good. The warmth I felt when she passed away, I had no sadness. I mean, I knew where she was going, but I knew that before. But I just didn't think I could handle that. And God answered my prayer. He said, here's where you belong, and here's why you belong there. So my prayer was answered probably 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks after I got off of it. It wasn't answered in the way I wanted it. But today, I am so glad it was answered the way He answered it. Amen.